go to the United States. Susan Davis, thank you very much for your patience. The president, I've been reading about this latest sort of virtual Fox town hall that he did. The numbers are rising. His projections for the likely death toll and may still be understated, Susan. It all sounds very grim.
Well, he did concede last night in a Fox News town hall in Washington that the numbers could rise back up to 100,000, which is higher than the White House and he had publicly been saying before. You know, it's a combination of factors. We do have in this country varying degrees of states reopening and those under stay-at-home orders. I believe approximately 25 states are still under some form of stay-at-home order, and about 13 states have started reopening, and other states in between. And so you have big populous states like Georgia and Florida rolling back some of these social distancing guidelines, especially at a time of year here where it's starting to feel like summertime and people want to get out more, especially in places like Florida. There's this question of, will people be flocking to the beaches and flocking to outdoor spaces? So we're really a test case right now. But what I would say about the U.S. is what the data is telling us is we're not really on a downward trajectory just yet. We're kind of in a plateau. We're holding steady for the past couple weeks at about 30,000 new cases a day, 2,000 deaths, and the numbers are rising. And we don't know the answer to when they will downturn. So I think that these reopenings are happening with, you know, not only a public health risk, but an economic risk and a political risk.
Driven mainly by the governors and the state decisions, yes, but what sort of messaging is the president giving from the top now?
Well, the president has essentially from the beginning said that he wanted to take a back seat to the governors in this decision-making process. And that is an executive decision that has not come without criticism. Many Democrats, even some in the Republican Party, have wanted the president to take a more hands-on, national, federally directed role in managing this crisis, specifically about things like getting testing to the states, making sure frontline healthcare workers have the type of protection equipment that they need. But the White House has really seen this as a state-driven solution. We are an incredibly geographically diverse country. What one state needs is dramatically different sometimes from another, and a one-size-fits-all solution could maybe exacerbate problems, which is at least the White House's theory. So the president has been rather unapologetic about that. He has said pretty clearly it will be up to the governors. Now, polling does tell us that many Americans rate their governors much higher than they rate the president. Nearby in Washington is the state of Maryland. There's a Republican governor, Larry Hogan, who has led a fairly aggressive campaign, stay-at-home orders. He directly negotiated with South Korea to get tests delivered to his state. And he's got really high approval ratings right now, much higher than the president. The challenge that the president has is the way he's managed this. And because he is a polarizing figure, that this crisis has not changed that reality. He has not benefited from sort of what we call here a rally around the flag bump. His approval ratings are pretty much static. They stay within this 9-point range, which is in quite the contrast to the leaders around the world who have seen their popularity among their people rise dramatically during this crisis. You think of people like Boris Johnson and in the UK and other places where people think that they're doing a good job. Trump hasn't gotten that benefit. And if those numbers stay the same, it doesn't really change the picture that he is an unpopular president. Certainly, he's someone who's never had more than 50% approval rating. And he's managing a once-in-a-century crisis at the same time that he's trying to get reelected. And it's going to be impossible for the White House to sort of separate those two realities.
Joe Biden has spoken up on these allegations of historic sexual assault. What has he had to say?
He has denied it unequivocally. He said they did not happen. He had called on sort of the business offices, the document holding offices of the United States Senate to look through its records and to release anything that may have regarded Tara Reid's saying that she filed a complaint in 1993. The Senate has essentially rejected that request, saying that even if such documents existed, they don't legally have the right to publicly disclose that kind of information. Although those documents wouldn't really confirm or deny whether the incident happened, Tara Reid, who has accused the president of this sexual assault, has said publicly that she never filed a complaint regarding a sexual assault, that she had just complained of general harassment or not being treated fairly in the office.
Joe Biden, the allegation was against. Sorry, carry on.
That wouldn't confirm that. So, you know, it hasn't fundamentally changed the nature of the race. Vote Joe Biden has seen still the Democratic Party supporting him. In the weeks since this allegation first surfaced, there has been a number of prominent women in the party who have come out to endorse him. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, former First Lady and presidential candidate Hillary Clinton, all of the women that ran against him in the Democratic primary. So his support in the primary seems pretty solid. You know, this is complicated by the fact that women make up a majority of the electorate here in the country. They have disproportionately been voting Democratic in recent elections. And part of that was because of the way they perceive Donald Trump, who has also faced a dozen or more allegations of sexual harassment, sexual assault, or other predatory type behavior. So it does further throw into question how women are going to vote in this election. We do believe that women will be a decisive vote for the election. I think the concern Democrats have is not necessarily that women would vote for Donald Trump. They think that the majority of women will not do that, and polling suggests that's true. But it's that question of enthusiasm.
Susan Davis, congressional correspondent for NPR and a co-host of the NPR Politics podcast, our US correspondent.